This is Ted Kennedy. It's time to crack down on gun laws that let crackpots buy guns. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, crime control starts with gun control. Every day, the arms race escalates in neighborhoods across the country. It's a scandal that teenagers, crooks, and the mentally ill can walk into a store and walk out with a handgun or assault rifle and open fire in their home, office, college campus, or city street. It's time to stop that kind of arms traffic, Al. The Brady Bill should be passed by Congress as soon as possible to impose at least a brief waiting period before any gun is purchased. That way, local law enforcement agencies can run a background check on every purchaser. A waiting period's too good for some guns, Al. We need a total ban on assault rifles that have no legitimate sporting purpose. Be a profiling courage, Al. Fight crime, not gun control. Just once, stand up to the National Rifle Association.
When the NRA is wrong, you bet your life I let them know. Like I always tell you when you're wrong, Ted. Like right now, gun control is not crime control. Get serious. If that ancient liberal theology is right, then why is it that Wyoming, which has sensible gun restrictions, can spend $14.50 on education for every dollar it spends on corrections, but Massachusetts, which has draconian gun restrictions, can only spend $6.50 on education for each dollar it spends on corrections? If gun control was such a great idea, the states with the toughest laws would have less crime. Not so. Ted, Bill Clinton's only answer to fighting crime is to impose gun restrictions on law-abiding American citizens. That's all. Ted, if ACLU liberals like you start pushing tough penalties, tough cops, and tough judges, instead of slap-of-the-hand justice, there wouldn't be as many nuts carrying weapons. Ted Kennedy and I would like to face off on a topic that intrigues you. Send your suggestion to this radio station. I'm Al Simpson on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. If you really believe that the AARP is only interested in tenderly helping the elderly, take another look. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, the National Taxpayers Union now tells us if Americans want to know why Congress can't balance the budget, look no further than the AARP. Their legislative agenda included $300 billion in new spending for 93, and they want spending to maintain existing programs to go up more than $700 billion by 2003. Remember the balanced budget amendment? The AARP made sure it died. AARP does some very good things, but Ted, this is a classic case of 34 million elderly people united by airline and drug and hotel discounts having their trust abused. Helping seniors get private health insurance may be fine, but the members need to know just how their high-paid lobbyists are pressing policies that will bankrupt America.
Al, that's an unfair attack on an organization that's a lifeline for senior citizens. The AARP does a responsible job in helping meet the needs of elderly Americans. What you're saying, Al, is that you want the government to cut back on Social Security and Medicare, the two most successful social programs the nation's ever had. They've brought peace of mind and decent health care to two generations of senior citizens. For millions of elderly Americans, their retirement years are golden years, not poverty years. Your anti-government bias took you off the deep end, Al. It's sour grapes, too, because the AARP did such a good job the past 12 years in blocking your Republican schemes to cut Social Security and Medicare and balance the budget on the backs of the elderly. When you retire, you'll have to start a new organization, Al, the AARC, the American Association of Retired Cranks. Al Simpson and I want to hear from our listeners about topics you'd like us to debate on Face Off. Just send your suggestion to the station. I'm Ted Kennedy on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. A showdown vote is coming this summer to end discrimination against gays in the military. Is Senator Al Simpson for it? In a moment, we'll face off. Al, President Clinton's right to end the ban on gays in the military. Discrimination has no place in our armed forces or anywhere else. People should be judged by their own ability, not the prejudice of others. As the Navy's tailhook scandal shows, the issue is people's conduct, not their status. Embarrassed by the scandal, the Pentagon's moving quickly to give fair opportunities to women, such as ending the ban on women flying aircraft in combat. We need the best pilots we can get, Al. At 600 miles an hour, 20,000 feet up, with enemy missiles coming at you, neither the sex nor the sexual orientation of your pilot makes any difference, as long as they can do the job. Blacks and women are overcoming the barriers of bigotry, Al. It's time to take down the next barrier, too.
Ted, you're supposed to eat apples and oranges, not always try to compare them. Race and gender have very little to do with behavior traits such as sexual preference. It is upsetting to many blacks when gays and lesbians try to tie their struggle solely to that of minorities. Now you're doing it too, Ted. When Senator Sam Nunn asked one of the highest-ranking black officers in the Army to testify before the Senate Armed Services Committee on this issue, you howled in protest. What's the matter here? Looks as if you just can't stomach any rejection, especially from minorities, of your continuing liberal social tinkering. What consenting adults do in privacy is darn sure their own business. But in certain types of military community environment, what someone does can darn sure be everybody's business. Ted, you really need to stop shelling both Democrats and Republicans on the Senate Armed Services Committee with wild charges of bigotry. After 3 decades in the Senate, you know well that name-calling doesn't work. Ted Kennedy and I would like to hear your face-off topic idea. Send your suggestion to this radio station. I'm Al Simpson on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. Will Bill Clinton continue to listen to shrieking liberals like Ted Kennedy and slam the trade door on China? In a moment, Ted and I will face off. Ted, you and I have both agreed that China must meet international standards on human rights and the proliferation of arms. We also agree that China has to start trading more fairly with the U.S. But how do we get China to listen? Isolation is just not the answer, Ted. History shows us that unilateral economic sanctions simply don't work. The 79 grain embargo on the Soviet Union is proof positive that using trade as a weapon only leads to economic disaster. Ted, the first president to get through to the Chinese, Richard Nixon, once said that the Great Wall of China is very thick. Even Chinese students in America today fear that most liberals in Congress will try to end China's most favored nation's trade status, that the wall will be restored to its full evil coarse thickness once again. Save your bricks and mortar, Ted. We need more hammers and chisels.
Al, it's nice to hear a hawk like you support human rights and controls on arms sales, but the Chinese government keeps on violating those principles. They won't play by fundamental international rules. They imprison and even kill pro-democracy leaders and supporters. And they sell arms to terrorist regimes like Iran, Iraq, Syria, or North Korea. President Bush's policy of coddling China on trade did nothing to change that intolerable behavior. China needs U.S. markets, Al. Its trade surplus with the U.S. exceeded $18 billion last year. Trade gives us the only real leverage we have to improve China's behavior. I don't know what students you've been talking to, Al, but since the Tiananmen Square massacre, every major Chinese student group in America has called for trade restrictions. Stop rewarding them with trade, Al, when they keep persecuting their own citizens and undermining world peace. Al Simpson and I want to hear from our listeners about topics you'd like us to debate on Face Off. Just send your suggestion to the station. I'm Ted Kennedy on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Smokers cost more than non-smokers in medical expenses. What else is new? But shouldn't they pay more for health care because of that? In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, a new study makes clear that despite their shorter life expectancy, smokers typically have significantly higher medical costs than non-smokers do. Over the course of their lives, the average male smoker will have 1/3 higher medical bills than a man who has never smoked. For the average woman smoker, the costs are 1/4 higher. In other words, even though smokers tend to die younger, their higher medical bills for cancer, heart disease, emphysema, and other major illnesses more than offset the fact that their earlier deaths save payments under Social Security. Whether the issue is insurance premiums or hospital and doctor's bills, non-smokers shouldn't have to pay for the unhealthy and expensive habits of smokers. It's one good reason why cigarette taxes should go up, Al. Don't you agree?
Ted, the real question is, when have you ever disagreed about new taxes? I am willing to consider responsible and reasonable ideas, but supporting any new tax, though this one is attractive, at a time when we are literally being bombarded with all sorts of new spending hikes is difficult for me to swallow. There wouldn't be a need for many of the proposed taxes if Clinton wasn't so gung-ho about increasing new spending by $153 billion. As Congress confronts the very tough problem of properly funding health care reform, cigarette taxes will indeed have to be on the table. I pledge to keep an open mind on health care reform, since it is absolutely essential that we develop a bipartisan consensus to enact it. Americans may want health care reform, but they want spending cuts too, and nothing would please them more than see you finally kick the habit on spending. Taxes Anonymous is looking for you. If you have a topic you'd like Ted Kennedy and me to do on Face Off, send your suggestion to this radio station. I'm Al Simpson on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. President Clinton seems much more concerned about raising taxes than he is about jobs. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Republicans and some Democrats are trying hard to tell Clinton to trash his highly regressive BTU tax. Ted, all by itself, the president's BTU tax will send 600,000 private sector jobs right up in flames. And even if Clinton's rabid political economic stimulus had passed, we would still be over 100,000 jobs in the hole. Ted, why in the world does this president go for a tax that would pound the poor ever deeper into despair and throw so many hard-working Americans out of work? Why? It's because his liberal appetite for tax hikes is as big as yours. Raising taxes will help our economy? Since when? Ted, the private sector has always been America's powerful economic engine, and the very last thing we need right now is a crew of unscrupulous liberal mechanics trying to give that capitalistic engine a government overhaul. Talk about a clunker.
Al, your elevator's not going all the way to the top today. You need to see the energy tax in perspective as part of President Clinton's plan to revive the economy and bring down the deficit. No one wants higher taxes. Everyone wants deficit reduction. Spending cuts can't do the job alone. The president's plan has a 50-50 combination, half spending cuts, half tax increases. Don't just complain about tax increases, Al, without mentioning deep spending cuts in the plan. The new taxes aren't unreasonable. Your Republican alternative falls flat on its face. To get the same deficit reduction without taxing energy, you'd cut Medicare for the elderly and Medicaid for the poor. The energy tax deserves to stay in the plan. We can fine-tune it so it's not excessive for families and businesses. It may not be popular, Al, but it's a lot fairer than your Republican alternative. Al Simpson and I want to face off on topics our listeners would like to hear about. Just send your suggestions to the station. I'm Ted Kennedy on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Reform of college student loans is an important new idea in federal aid to education. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, the current system of federal aid to college students needs basic reform. The current system pays huge taxpayer subsidies, $2 billion a year, to private banks to make loans to college students. The loans are guaranteed by the federal government, and the interest rate is subsidized. The banks get all the profits, the taxpayers get all the risks, and the students get shortchanged. There's a better way, Al, and President Clinton's found it. Cut out the middlemen, the banks that are profiteering on the current flawed system. Let students borrow directly from the federal government. Direct loans mean cheaper borrowing for students and less cost to the Treasury. Stop subsidizing the banks, Al. End the sweetheart deal that makes student loans more profitable for banks than car loans or home mortgages. That's an outrage, Al. Direct loans can stop it.
Ted, you sound mighty confident, considering the fact that no one knows for sure if direct loans will even work. As Senator Kassebaum recently said, if we learn nothing else from the massive buildup of the 80s, it should be to fly it before you buy it. Ted, I too want Sallie Mae and other Fed-supported agencies to stop scarfing up excessive profits from the current student loan program. But unlike you, I also have a deep concern about direct loans adding $25 billion directly to the federal debt every year. That is the real outrage here, and if you were aiming to saddle American taxpayers with 100% of the default risk, then you sure hit the bullseye. Unlike King Midas, Ted, everything you touch turns to leaden debt. But if the real goal is to make loans less expensive for students, we can do that today by just reducing the interest rate the banks can charge for the loans. Every time you only need a screwdriver, pal, you always reach for the old sledgehammer. Ted Kennedy and I would like to hear your face-off topic idea. Send your suggestion to this radio station. I'm Al Simpson on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. The only way the Democrats can pass Clinton's tax plan is to kick everybody out of the room and lock the door. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, the House Ways and Means Committee should have a sign outside their door reading, "Do not disturb Democrats raising taxes." When it came time to look at the pile of presidential tax hikes, like the BTU tax that would cause all folks, especially the poor, to go out and BTU, buy thermal underwear, they slammed the door. Really, Ted, why should writing of tax laws have to go on behind closed doors? Did it ever occur to you that if you have to bolt the door, you might in fact be doing something wrong? You've always said sunshine is the best disinfectant. What smells here? Funny how every time there's a new millionaire's tax, Democrats bring in the marching bands. But when it comes to taxing the poor and the middle class, you hide out. Ted, if the president's tax plan is so sensitive that it can't be exposed to sunlight, then it darn sure does not deserve to become law.
Nonsense, Al. Ever since President Clinton first announced his comprehensive economic plan for the nation, there's been plenty of public debate and plenty of sunlight on every aspect of the proposal. Nothing's happening behind closed doors that isn't happening in broad daylight, too. The American people understand the need for change. They recognize the merit of the administration's plan and its fundamental difference from the failed Republican policies of the past. The Clinton plan has two essential parts, Al: long-term investment and major deficit reduction. It's the only realistic way to stop the recession, create new jobs for the future, and restore long-run economic growth. The plan's overall balance is fair, and so is the balance between spending cuts and tax increases. For every dollar of new taxes, there's a dollar of spending cuts. When you rail against taxes, Al, you're not playing with a full deck. You're only talking about half the plan. Al Simpson and I want to face off on topics our listeners would like to hear about. Just send your suggestion to the station. I'm Ted Kennedy on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. U.S. pharmaceutical firms are making profits with shoddy practices in third world nations. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, a new study by the Congressional Office of Technology Assessment is a shocking indictment of U.S. drug company practices in the third world. A survey of 250 U.S. drugs found that two-thirds are routinely sold without proper warnings and instructions. Many are also sold for unproven uses. The U.S. has an obligation to see that citizens of other countries aren't harmed by misleading labels on American products. Drugs must be safe, whether the patient lives in the U.S. or any other nation. It's not just a U.S. problem. Pharmaceutical firms in other nations do it, too. Competition for profits is endangering millions of lives. We have an agency in the United States, the Food and Drug Administration, to stop those abuses here, Al. Join me in pressing the World Health Organization to do the same for all nations.
Ted, I do have to hand it to you. Instead of sacrificing only the U.S. companies to a new set of standards while leaving their foreign competitors free to devour our pharmaceutical market share, you're doing the right thing to make sure that all companies, foreign and domestic, play by the same rules when it comes to the humane treatment of third world purchasers of drugs. These developing countries make up about 75% of the world's population, yet they only consume 21% of the world's pharmaceuticals. As this market for drugs continues to grow, there is no reason why drug companies of all nations cannot comply with reasonable labeling standards. The horrendous cases of abuse were indeed tragic and wholly unnecessary, but enforcing of tough labeling standards for U.S. companies alone would be about as effective as taking an aspirin to cure malaria. Wouldn't help much. Good call, Ted. Ted Kennedy and I would like to face off on a topic that intrigues you. Send your suggestion to this radio station. I'm Al Simpson on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. America is still waiting patiently for the President's welfare reform package. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Face-off listener Lee Hill wrote into KHSJ in Kemet, California, wanting to know if raising the age of eligibility for welfare recipients to 21 might reduce the level of teenage pregnancies, lowering the number of welfare-dependent mothers. To say that teenage girls are all actively aware of U.S. welfare laws and then use them as the basis for becoming pregnant may be a slight stretch of reality. But Ted, Mr. Hill and the majority of Americans are plenty fed up with the transformation of that old welfare safety net. After decades of liberal social puttering, what we now have is a permanent hammock. Ted, if President Clinton really wants to instill a new set of values in welfare recipients, he must do it by encouraging family stability, rewarding independence, and inspiring them to education. Come on, Ted, let's rip down those dead-end signs and roadblocks on the road to welfare dependency once and for all.
Al, welcome to welfare reform. One of President Clinton's most important commitments is to end welfare as we know it. He'll soon send his plan to Congress. Some say the president's trying to do too much, but I'd say there's so much to change. The dead-end system of welfare is high on the list of priorities for change. Our listener in California says raise the minimum welfare age to 21. But that attacks the wrong part of the problem and penalizes children. The real problem is not that it's too easy for teenage parents to get on welfare, it's too hard for them to get off it. Today's system locks people in a welfare dependency. They can't get decent jobs or job training. If they take low-paying jobs, they can't afford child care, health care, or even bus fare. Most people on welfare would rather work, Al. The real key to welfare reform is making work pay. Al Simpson and I want to face off on topics our listeners would like to hear about. Just send your suggestions to this station. I'm Ted Kennedy on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. One of President Clinton's best ideas for change is his plan to encourage national and community service. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, it's fashionable for citizens to blame problems on others. We need more effective ways to encourage people to become involved themselves. The concept of community service is as old as America. The spirit that enabled 13 quarreling colonies to become the United States is the same spirit that will meet our other challenges. President Kennedy inspired the nation with his famous phrase, "Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country." Now President Clinton is making a similar challenge. His plan will encourage people of all ages, from kindergarten pupils to senior citizens, to get involved in their communities. Instead of dead-end ideology, me first, it's we the people once again. Sign up, Al. It may be the most important and the most enduring of all President Clinton's initiatives for the country.
That may be true, Ted, but it may also turn out to be his most expensive initiative as well. And coming from Bill Clinton, that's no small feat. Ted, in March, I told you Republicans really wanted to support Clinton on this one, and now it's actually on paper. We see it will cost $3.4 billion. Ted, that's a chunk of change that Uncle Sam simply doesn't have right now. You're very right, we need to get people involved in their communities, but how can they find the time to get more involved when they have to work longer hours to make up for all the taxes you dump on them in order to pay for these programs? Ted, if this is ever going to work, we need to have good assurances that defaults won't sink at all. You Dems get carried away into the vapors when it comes to spending tax money, but now take a deep breath, get out your calculator, and start using the subtract button there. There is a very first time for everything, eh, pal? Ted Kennedy and I would like to face off on a topic that intrigues you. Send your suggestion to this radio station. I'm Al Simpson on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. The media is much more concerned about winners and losers than the vital work of our government. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, your liberal buddies in the fourth branch of the national government are at it again. Apparently, the newspapers and network news crowd aren't about to let Clinton off the roller coaster. For the most part, he's done okay. Family leave and others he wanted have been signed into law. But one totally unnecessary bill gets defeated, and the piranhas start their swarming ritual, and we get to read all about what a babbler Bill Clinton has now become and how his message is incoherent. But after the passage of the motor voter bill, suddenly the president is a visionary once again. Now, Ted, the word news must really be put back into the terms newspaper and network news. Competing with vapid soap operas may boost their ratings, but it's time the media spreads less lather and palaver and cleaned up their own act. They're a great part of America's problems. Believe it. Don't trot out the chilling effect now.
There you go again, Al, blaming the messenger instead of blaming the message. That's why we have a First Amendment, to protect freedom of the press against any attempt by government to vent its displeasure at inconvenient or embarrassing attacks from the press. As Thomas Jefferson put it long ago, if he had to choose, he'd pick newspapers without government instead of government without newspapers. No question, abuses exist. But you take them too personally, Al. You're well known for letting bad press get under your skin. But when Al Simpson acts in real life like Homer Simpson on TV, you got to expect you'll wind up in the news. As Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes once wrote, the best test of a thought is its ability to get itself accepted in the marketplace of ideas. Bad ideas sink and good ones prevail. It's the essence of democracy, Al, and you're wrong to want even one whiff of censorship. Al Simpson and I want to face off on topics our listeners would like to hear about. Just send your suggestion to the station. I'm Ted Kennedy on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Campaign finance reform is the key to progress on every other challenge facing the country. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, why are Republicans obstructing reforms in campaign financing? The present system's reliance on special interest contributions makes conflict of interest a way of life in Congress. It demeans our elections, distorts legislation, and diminishes our democracy. How can you oppose spending limits on elections, Al? Without spending limits, campaign reform's a sham. Elections will still be for sale to the highest bidder. How can you oppose public financing of elections? Tax dollars come untainted by special interests. No strings to private contributors seeking favors from Congress. We've had public financing of presidential elections for 20 years, ever since Watergate. It'll work just as well for Senate and House elections. Give it a chance, Al.
You're right, Ted. We've given it a chance ever since the 70s, and last year a whopping 82% of all taxpayers voted against publicly funded campaigns on their tax forms. Now, that's what I call a real landslide loser. Ted, at a time when Americans are already numb and staggering from Bill Clinton's tax and spend policies, they're sure in no mood to start forking out food stamps for politicians. Ted, the Republican bill bans all PACs, forces candidates to raise money in their own state, stops taxpayer-funded congressional mass mailings during election year, bans all undisclosed, unregulated sewer money, and much, much more. And guess what, Ted? Republicans were able to craft this without asking the taxpayers to cough up 1 cent. The 22 Democrat senators who are up for re-election in 94, including you, Ted, who try to force the taxpayers to foot the bill for their own campaigns, will hopefully wind up getting the boot themselves. Poetic justice. Ted Kennedy and I would like to hear your face-off topic idea. Send your suggestion to this radio station. I'm Al Simpson on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. In a real blowout race, Texas voters elected Republican Kay Bailey Hutchison to the U.S. Senate. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Texas voters have powerfully made 1993 the year of the taxpayer. Kay Bailey Hutchison ran hard against the president and his tax and spending hikes, and she won the Senate seat by a whopping 2-1 margin. Face it, Ted, the election was a total rejection of Bill Clinton's liberal tax and spend policies. Texas sent a big wake-up call to the president, telling him, no uncertain terms, that America cannot afford to have the remaining 42 months of his term look anything like the first six. Ted, the November election seemed to be all about a mandate for change. It was never a mandate for Bill Clinton himself, and Texas voters sure proved that. Unless Bill Clinton shapes up, the chorus of disenchantment will continue to a steady crescendo. Ted, people are leery of what the president says, but they'll always believe what he does. Maybe one more fine Republican in the Senate will help the president to figure it all out.
Al, I join in congratulating Kay Bailey Hutchison on her victory in that Senate race in Texas. I look forward to working with her in Congress. It's no surprise a Republican won a Senate race in a state that went Republican in the presidential race 7 months ago. You're entitled to pop a few champagne corks, Al, but when the bubbles stop bubbling and the spin doctors stop spinning, the real message remains. Once again, voters have said it bluntly. They want change. That means no more gridlock, no more Republican filibusters against needed reforms. President Clinton was elected to get the economy moving, reform health care, and meet the many other serious challenges we face. He's got good ideas to get us there, and he deserves a chance. Republican senators should stop playing obstruct and delay and start supporting the changes the voters are clearly calling for. Al Simpson and I want to hear from our listeners about topics you'd like to have us debate on Face Off. Just send your suggestion to this station. I'm Ted Kennedy on the Mutual Broadcasting System. Progressive beat. This is Ted Kennedy, afraid to win a ground off New York. Its cargo of illegal aliens demonstrates major defects in our immigration laws. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, the problem has been festering for years, but it finally broke wide open again last week when that freighter went aground off the coast of New York with its human cargo of hundreds of illegal aliens. Our immigration laws have broken down. They're being overwhelmed by fraudulent applicants for asylum. Some of them may even be terrorists. Organized crime rings in Asia are smuggling thousands of illegal workers from China and other countries into the United States. It's a modern version of the slave trade, and it's time to stop it. Some Republicans would go too far, Al. They'd send everybody back, even the legitimate refugees fleeing for their lives. Right idea, wrong remedy, Al. Let's fix the system of asylum, not destroy it.
Ted, our asylum laws have more loopholes than a 10-foot slab of Swiss cheese. But you are right. We don't need to destroy our asylum laws, but we had better fill in those holes pretty fast. In 91, over 37,000 aliens with fraudulent documents or no documents at all showed up for this special treatment at our airports and seaports. More than 13,000 entered JFK Airport alone, and we've been told that so far this year the current number is running 300% above the 91 numbers. We have a terribly serious problem, Ted. All Americans are affected, if not threatened, by our failure to control illegal immigration. Help us stomp out phony documents. I also have a comprehensive bill that would take the gimmickry out of the words political asylum, but in a way that no true refugee would ever have to fear persecution. Come on, Ted, sign on. We must act now to make sure our land of milk and honey doesn't sour before we suffer compassion fatigue and overreact. Ted Kennedy and I would like to hear your face-off topic idea. Send your suggestion to this radio station. I'm Al Simpson on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. Now, Goosey House Democrats are hunting down their own Democrat kinfolk for voting against the president's budget. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, Bill Clinton had to twist a lot of arms and bust heads to get the votes to pass his big tax hike package in the House. Some power-lusting Democrats even circulated a letter calling for the heads of all Democrat subcommittee chairmen who voted against the president. It takes real gall for these headline grabbers to tell fellow members that their actions have consequences. But these power-hungry Democrats have it backwards. Their own action will strap $273 billion in new taxes square on the backs of American taxpayers. Not the rich, you out there. Now that's what I call a consequence. Ted, if the huge tax hike package were really in the public interest, you wouldn't need threats to pass it. Come on, Ted, call off the witch hunt. For the fretful Democrats who stuck with the president's tax hikes for political reasons alone, I have some words of warning. Voters know how to head hunt, too.
Cut it out, Al. The House of Representatives gave President Clinton a well-deserved victory on his economic plan. As Speaker Tom Foley put it, in rejecting misguided suggestions for punishing Democrats who voted against the president's plan, we got our majority the old-fashioned way by appealing to the good judgment of members of our party to vote for the president's plan. They did, but they had to do it the hard way, too, over the intense opposition of Republicans who threw sand into every gear they could. One party in Congress does enforce goose-step conformity on its members, Al, the Republican Party. All 175 Republicans in the House of Representatives voted against President Clinton's plan. No one, not a single Republican, supported the president. 219 Democrats voted for his plan, and 38 Democrats voted against it. We tolerate dissent, Al. You don't. Al Simpson and I want to face off on topics our listeners would like to hear about. Just send your suggestion to the station. I'm Ted Kennedy on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. It's time for Horse and Buggy Schools to enter the age of computers and laser printers. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, a key part of education reform is to bring schools across the country into the computer age. New legislation in Congress, the Technology Education Act, will expedite the change. In most schools, high-tech classrooms are all too rare. In few other major institutions in our society do professionals have such limited access to modern technology as teachers and pupils in their schools. To meet our national education goals and regain our competitive edge in the workplace, we have to modernize our classrooms and tap the immense potential of contemporary technology. Schools need funds to buy computers. Better teacher training is needed to make the hardware and software easier to explain and use. Give this idea the priority it deserves, Al. High-tech education, the future is now.
Ted, I readily agree that computers and other forms of classroom technology are vital aids in facilitating learning among young students. And for disabled students, this technology has significantly changed their career choices and way of life. It has become their great equalizer. But keep in mind that technology is a tool, not an end in itself. Ted, all too often today, school administrators buy a truckload of computer hardware and then ask, "What do we do now?" When taxpayers are paying for these computers, it should not be done that way. Schools should have a plan first and then get the hardware to support it. Let us not forget the taxpayers. Unique idea, eh, Ted? But, Ted, you are on the right track. Even though our biggest deficiencies in education are still the 3 R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic, there is surely no doubt that education technology is one great way to help today's students become tomorrow's leaders in an expanding global marketplace. Ted Kennedy and I would like to hear your face-off topic idea. Send your suggestion to this radio station. I'm Al Simpson on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. Many members of Congress really believe they are better suited to spend local government money than the local governments are. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, state and local government officials, whether Republican or Democrat, are fed up to their ears with their federal government telling them what to do. They say that federal mandates are inefficient, costly, and force communities to senseless budget decisions. Ted, several bills have been introduced to demand Congress pay for these mandates and to effectively force Congress to live in the real world. The real world at state and local levels is balancing budgets, providing services as efficiently as possible, being fiscally responsible, and making tough decisions among competing priorities. Pretty radical, eh, Ted? Ted, you always love to burden local governments with your priorities. Just look at Motor Voter. But if you're really serious about balancing the budget, then you'll have to do better than just joyfully sticking local governments with the tab. Spread the misery, eh, Ted?
Al, I agree. Federal laws sometimes place excessive burdens on the states. But you picked a poor example. The Motor Voter Law, signed by President Clinton last month, imposes a small financial burden to achieve a large benefit for democracy, enabling citizens to register to vote when they renew their driver's licenses. Congress steps in when states and local governments aren't dealing adequately with problems. States were intentionally using archaic voter registration laws to create obstacles to voting. The Motor Voter Act stops all that. Usually, federal mandates are designed to end abuses and set minimum national standards for all 50 states. When states are shirking their responsibility, it's not unfair to ask them to pay the bill. In many other cases, when Congress wants states to act, we provide funds to defray the cost. It's called the federal system, Al. In spite of your uninformed attack, it served the country well. Al Simpson and I want to face off on topics our listeners would like to hear about. Just send your suggestion to this station. I'm Ted Kennedy on the Mutual Broadcasting System.